Yo, yo, yiggity, yo. Welcome back to another episode of Cuddle Talk. I am your co-host or host, Sidari
Fleet Mobley. What?
I'm trying to say my whole name.
Say your whole name again.
Sidari Fleet Mobley.
And this your boy, Johnny Lee Mobley II, a.k.a. DJ Anonymous. Y'all, when I hear that drop again, I just wanted to show up because we upgraded. Well,
we're slowly upgraded.
Slowly upgraded, you know, Cuddle Talk, so.
Yeah. That's a update, I guess you can say. We've been trying to improve our equipment for Cuddle Talk. So we have fancy new headphones and fancy new mics so you guys can hear us a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm sure it ain't that fancy, but it's fancy enough. The quality is better. Y'all gonna tell. Since the first episode, I mean the Blue Yeti is good.
I mean, there's not an echo. I mean, I don't know because I'm hearing it through the headphones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like there's an echo.
It's not like, an echo.
It's more clear. I don't know. It feels more podcasty.
Well, that's why I got this stuff. It's a lot of investment and. I'm glad you said that because people need to understand that this is expensive as fuck. This is podcasting.
Yeah. It's not just pick up. I mean, you can, but once you start like really putting forth the effort mm-hmm. and actually wanting to put something of quality out,
mm-hmm.
you start realizing like, yeah, you kind of need to invest in like the mics and the headphones and the equipment that records everything. But it's a great way. I was watching the Impulsive, the Logan Paul
mm-hmm.
podcast, and he was telling the other host, not his friend, not the one that sits next to him,
mm-hmm.
the one that sits on the couch with the guest.
Right.
He was telling him how, like, because I guess he started his, I think his name is George. He started his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a name for it yet. And he was telling him, like, it's kind of therapeutic to do, like, a podcast.
It is.
And, like, I was like, yeah, like, when we do our episodes, like, we're not consistent, which we're trying to be more consistent. But when we do our podcasts and, like, the process of, like, I've taken more of a role in, like, layering how we do the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of is therapeutic. Like, I get to, like, go through things and see like how I want that podcast to go and how I want it to sound to our listeners. So it is very much therapeutic in that process. And then actually like sitting down and listening to one another and talking about things and going through it. Like it is in a way therapeutic.
It was very therapeutic.
Well, you have your, you know, sports, biz, and music. Podcast and you get to interview like other people, so you should know if it is therapeutic for you.
It is. It's very therapeutic. You get to meet, well, my podcast, you get to meet different people. Even when I do it by myself, was I always thought it used to be weird at first, but after a while I was like, I talk to myself a lot anyway. So I was like, let me just talk to the mic or talk on my phone or whatever access I have to record the podcast. So I just do it, and it is therapeutic. It's like therapy. It's like self therapy. I don't know if that makes sense. It's like
internal therapy.
Yeah, internal therapy. I'm still learning about this therapy stuff. But internal therapy.
That's not an actual thing. I'm just saying, like, if you're internalizing.
We made it up, but yeah, something like internal, like, because I'd be having a lot of thoughts in my head.
You're processing all your thoughts.
Yeah, so sometimes, like.
You're verbally processing all your thoughts.
Yeah, so sometimes I think I'm talking to myself, but I'm really not, because there are millions and billions of people that will have the same thought as me.
Yeah, I'm looking at how. Because I think that that's what's been holding me back in doing my own podcast. Because I've been talking about wanting to do a podcast about, like, the books that I read. Because I'm an avid book reader. And I wanted to, like, start a podcast on reviewing those books. And it's the idea of having to sit down and like talk to myself.
Right.
About a book that I've read when I usually do that with my friends. Like, mm-hmm. it's easy to do it with other people. I think the hard part is actually having to sit down and do it. But I have to get out of that fear and actually, like, do it.
Just do it. I've been telling you that for a while. Just do it.
Like, I know. I have to do it.
All these books you be reading.
Not just books, like all the fan fictions that I read that like turn into actual, like there's one fan fiction.
Yeah, the freaky dicky shit.
Yes, it is freaky, but there's one fan fiction that like the character development, how the characters have been developing, how the relationship between the characters have developed is amazing to me. Like she's on Tinder. Not Tinder. I said Tinder. She's on Tumblr. Her story is Three Tangerines. I'm going to find her because I adore her. Like, writing, I actually messaged her and was like, listen.
Look, that could be your first guest on your show.
Kit Taehyung. She is on Kit Taehyung. KITHTAEHYUNG. If you're an avid like BTS fan, like I am, Bangtan Solandan, her last, like the last part of her name is Taehyung, which is a member of BTS. But Three Tangerine has to do with Yoongi, which is my favorite member. Mm-hmm. And it's just like an alternate universe. Like, it's completely different, but it has characteristics of what Yoongi is. But the way that she has developed the relationship between the characters, like, it started off as the girl just wanting to have sex with him because some ex told her that she wasn't good at sex. And then it developed into, like, a whole relationship. And now they're trying to navigate, like, their feelings for each other. Yoongi in the story is trying to navigate how he feels like he doesn't deserve her because he isn't the best and he's not not where he wants to be. And he feels like she's too good for him and she's like, I'm not good enough for him. So like they're seeing the same thing, but then they're also hiding it from his best friend, which is her brother. Mm. So like that whole character development, like just seeing how their relationship blossoms, and then watching, like reading it, the sex scenes are great. Like she's very detailed and it's not like raunchy and nasty. Like it's very like very well written. So I like that, and like I guess I could do just what I did on my own podcast.
Might as well.
But
just when I bring people on my show, on Sports Biz Music, I don't just have them on the show to have them on the show. I actually, like, listen to them and see how they did it. So I feel like, you know, to have on your podcast is not just to have on the show because you're a fan, but also you want to learn from her and how she started because...
Yeah, writing is hard. Like, I tried to do that. You read it, and you say it was good, but I'm, like, not the most confident person in myself.
Just do it.
I know. You tell me to just do it, and I have to just do it. But it's not, like, I can't do it. It's just that I start overthinking everything, like, writing it and everything. But I am going to try. I'm going to do my podcast, too, because... You are an amazing husband and bought me all of these books that I have on my list. So now I actually have to read them and I can actually start like reviewing them. I've already like read a couple of the stories on my list that I can start doing reviews for. And like you and I were having a conversation about the story you bought me that connects to my personal life and how I see myself in the story.
Right.
So I think that that would be like a great episode to record and actually put out and see like who else felt the same way about the story.
You should. Like, I'm telling you, like, when I started podcasting, you don't understand like the power of your voice you have until you start hearing people saying like, "Oh, I heard your podcast." So by you, first of all, that sector of podcasting, like that industry of podcasting, like book reviews or just talking about books and stories or interviewing authors and stuff like that or writers, like that's still a growing industry. So for you, by doing that, whether it's local, whether it's people from all over the globe, that podcast, I already know it's going to be a gold mine. You got to be consistent, you know, with it. You got to, you know, want it. But I know it's going to be consistent because you read all the damn time.
Yeah,
so
every day.
Even the books you already read, you could review them.
I'm trying to, my goal is a book per month, and I'm behind on it because I finished up one book, and I'm currently reading another one, and I'm already in March, so I'm like two books behind. Mm-hmm. But it gets hard because we have two kids. We both work.
Right.
We're both trying to do a podcast. Mm-hmm. It gets difficult to just like find time to sit down and read, especially mm-hmm. as a teacher. Like now I'm an educator too. Like from 8:30 to 3:20, I'm sitting in front of children. It's very hard for me to find time to like just sit back and read. And so now that we're going into testing,
mm-hmm.
My goal is to like, once I get home and my kids are settled and Jasmine's watching a little bit of the tablet. Like, we said we weren't going to be tablet parents.
Right.
And now we are.
Yeah,
but I think that we became tablet parents because of our situation. Like, we're not in our own home.
Right.
You know, we're staying at your mom's house until we're able to buy our own home.
Even though she said that's our home too.
It's her house.
Yeah, it's her house. So I get what she's saying, like, because I'm the same way. That's why every day I always make sure. That's why when we did the vision board.
Yeah, we did a vision board, guys. If you have not done a vision board, I suggest you take the time to do it because I think that that's another great therapeutic thing to do. It's very inexpensive. Yeah. And it's you take like an hour, maybe 2 hours. It took me like 2 hours, but that's because I was really like into it. Like, you don't realize you spent 2 hours cutting out pictures and pasting them on a board and like writing down. Like, it's very therapeutic. And when you do it together as a couple, like, yeah, John did his own and I did mine. And then, we were just sitting in the same room. Like, I didn't realize like how in some way we had a whole like at home date.
Yeah, pretty much. It was raining today too,
mm-hmm.
and I had to go to work too. So, it was therapeutic. That was, I never did that before.
Yeah,
I did.
That was my first time too. I've heard of it so much, but I'd never like done it. But hold on, before we go back to it, because I have to end the thought that I had before about like getting Jasmine to like sit down and watch the tablet and getting the baby to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we get into that routine, I think I can find like a time to like maybe read 2 or 3 chapters of my books so that I can actually meet my goal of at least a book a month.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say before I started talking about Jasmine and her tablet.
See, Jasmine, your podcast. our 3-year-old daughter. Last episode we talked about how, you know, the story of how she was born and everything.
Sorry.
That's all good. The other day we went, because we trying to do something for our son for his first birthday in August, like we did for our daughter. It was amazing. It was a success. It was crazy.
That's a must though.
Yeah, it's a
must.
You
can't do it for one and not the other.
Yeah. So, and it's crazy too. They literally the same week, mm-hmm. basically, like her birthday. This year, her birthday is gonna be on Sunday, and his birthday gonna be the following Saturday. So,
yeah, they're like literally the same week because the Sunday is the beginning of the week.
Right. So, we gotta like definitely like this year is gonna be about him. I mean, she gonna have her time for her birthday, but we gotta do it first. You know. Birthday celebration for him like we did with her. But then next year she will be 5 years.
Going to Disney for the first time.
Yeah, both of them. I mean, but she's gonna kind of remember more because.
So like, I'm wondering, since next year, and not to cut you off because I did a good job. I'm thinking like next year, if she's gonna be like, "What do you want to do for your birthday?" I want to go to Disney World.
She should. Like,
that's what I'm thinking it's gonna be when she sees it. Because you and I have had this conversation. Like, we should go. Let's just take her to Disney. But we're like, but what if she doesn't like it? She's never been. And it's kind of a weird statement to say because right. What child is not gonna like Disney World? And it would be our child.
She's so invested into all these characters. Yeah, like
she loves Mickey and Minnie.
Mickey, Minnie. Well, she called Minnie Kiki Mouse.
She calls him Kiki Mouse. Yeah.
She like Daisy. She goofy. She knows
Daisy. She knows Donald. And I'm surprised because the main characters are Mickey and Minnie. And everybody knows Mickey and Minnie. So, like, for her to know Daisy and know Donald and know Goofy, like, wow.
I mean, you also got
trying to get her into the princesses, but it hasn't worked for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think when she get older, she's going to appreciate them more.
Yeah, she's not into it yet. Like, she loves Encanto, but she just likes the songs.
Right, I mean.
And then she likes the other one she likes. This is why people sit on couches. what's the other one she likes? I don't know. There's another one that she really likes.
Oh, you talking about? So it's Encanto.
She doesn't like Moana.
She likes Frozen.
I swear, I've been trying to get her into Moana, but she didn't know it's not Frozen. There's an actual princess that she like really really likes.
She like Little Mermaid.
She didn't like the live action. Anything live action, she's not into. I've realized that about our child. She's not a live action girl.
Well, Jasmine is very like.
She loves colors. That's yeah. What it is. She's gonna be our artist.
Either she gonna be an artist like a painter, or she gonna be an architecture and you know, put stuff in a vision and let people build it. Cause I just see her just being that person, just. Draw it or color it or whatever, draw it, you know, illustrate it. That's probably the right way to say it.
Yeah.
And then somebody bring it to life and she just continue to do it.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to take her to like Disney and let her see all of these characters in person.
She's probably going to be excited.
She's going to go crazy.
And I can't wait for that. I'm just waiting to eat my turkey wing.
I told you that I read somewhere, I think it was on Reddit or something, that said that because we haven't been on social media for a while, so that's why you guys probably, we also haven't really posted anything because we just, you know, we've been on Lent, so we have taken 40 days and 40 nights to go off social media and like strengthen our connection to God and strengthen our connections to ourselves and to each other. So one of the things that we gave up was social media. Mm-hmm. But before we went on Lent, I remember reading somewhere that said like Disney when we are young is exciting to us. Mm-hmm. But the most exciting part as a parent now is seeing Disney through our children's eyes. Right. So how do when our kids see Disney for the first time, that is where our excitement comes in. So I'm excited to see her, see the castle and see like the parade and then see everything. I know she's going to ask for like a balloon.
Yeah, she's going to ask for a balloon. She got so many questions. I'm like, "Daddy, mommy, what's this? What's this? You see that?
Daddy, mommy, daddy. This, yeah. Look at Minnie, Mickey, oh my God."
I'm ready for her to get into Marvel too, like the Marvel characters. Yes,
but that's because we're into it.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody, because you know we're wrestling fans, so and J3 seems to really be into wrestling. Like the little boy, our son, loves wrestling. Jasmine kind of just like is there.
She do, but the thing is, she'll jump off the damn couch and try to do a move.
But I was telling somebody, I was like, when it comes to the wrestlers like nowadays, like Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, Roman Reigns, Ricochet, like all of the wrestlers that are this generation. Mm-hmm. When you hear them talk in interviews, like, it's very interesting to hear them talk about certain things. Right. Like, they'll mention, like, comic books and anime and Marvel and all this stuff. And it's, like, mm-hmm. stuff that we are yeah. into it. And I never realized, like, I think I was listening to Cody Rhodes' interview. And he said something about X-Men. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, shit. Cody Rhodes is talking about X-Men. And I was like, wait a minute, how old is Cody? And he's like 38, 39. Yeah, like, he's literally not that far from us. Mm-mm. Like, I'm 32. We're both 32. So he's like 4 or 5 years older than us.
Yeah.
So to hear him say that, I'm like, oh, shit. Wow. Like, we're really not that far. Like, we really grew up in the same generation. Like, we really, like, watched almost the same things. And, like, the new day and how they have up, up, down, down. Mm-hmm. And how they, like, played a lot of the video games that we played growing up, like right. Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat and all that
Tekken
stuff.
And all that, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's interesting. So, like, now seeing Jasmine and Jay and how they are getting into certain things that we're into, like, it's going to be interesting to see how, when they get older, they mm-hmm. start to picture, like, oh, my God, I remember this, like, with my parents. And, like, right. now this person is talking about it. And it's just interesting. To see that.
Yeah, because I think about it, like, everybody in entertainment, like, you gotta remember our generation. Oh my gosh, here comes Jasmine.
If you guys hear a voice, it's Jasmine.
It's baby. Baby sleep. Say hello to the fans.
Hi.
Hi.
Say hello, everybody.
Hello, Penny.
Say, how are you?
Hi.
You got Jazzy on the podcast right now. She popped out of nowhere. Now you scared now? You don't want to be on the podcast no more? Say what's up.
Hi.
Tell her, what's your name? Jasmine. You hear Dada on the mic? I mean, on the headphones?
Yeah.
Say what's up.
It's Jasmine.
Says Jasmine from the 305.
305.
You want to go watch your iPad?
Go watch your iPad. Mommy and Daddy working.
Wait a minute.
All right. Uh-oh.
Go watch your iPad.
Be working, okay?
Go.
No.
Go, go.
Go.
No. All right, so let Mommy. Go get your iPad and come right back.
So you can sit on the couch.
Go sit on the couch. Come on. Go. You want to watch the TV?
Danny, go.
All right, y'all. That was Jasmine. Go. Now she want to try to get on the mic. We'll probably get a third mic for her. I don't know. Start a podcast.
It's a whole family podcast.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I started noticing that our generation, we are really starting to be the leaders of this era. So anybody born from, like, 1980 to basically 2001-ish, 2000, even though I don't really count y'all, but technically we got to count y'all because y'all, like, millennials in a way. We are leaders. When I look at politics, when I look at, like, politics, when I look at, you know, entertainment and, you know, sports and, you know, any type of industry, I look at people like, oh, they 28, they 32, they 35, they 40, they, you know, 23, they 24. Like, I look at all these ages and dates, and I'm like, yeah, this is our generation. This is the generation that grew up in balance, that grew up in, you know, going outside and playing and till, like, the lights, you know, go on. But then, like, at the same time, we like going to the movies. We like watching movies at home, playing video games, board games, you know, reading, you know what I'm saying, comic books. You know, like, I was telling one of my coworkers, I was like, you know, one of my favorite books I love to read was The Odyssey, because I love, like, the Greek gods and stuff. So that was one of the books that I actually picked up and read, and I was interested. And, like, I feel like this generation coming up, And I know it's very tech savvy, but I feel like it kind of might get lost in the sauce in terms of like actually enjoying reading the book, because it's like,
yeah, my books are all like actual paperback.
Yeah, like my thing is, even though I listen to audiobooks sometimes, I'm like, I still want to buy the actual copy. Like the only book I finished that was audiobook, but I still want to get it, is The Art of War. And when I was listening to it, I'm like, yeah, I got to read it, because there's some stuff that I want to actually like take notes and read, like take notes.
Yeah, but
out,
I think
like,
that that's because we grew up learning to do that. Like, right. That's something that I teach my children to do, like annotating and stuff like that. I annotate everything. Like, you see my books are highlighted, they're right. Underlined, they have notes in them, but that's because that's how I process my reading.
Right.
That's how I remember things in my reading.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. It's different. Like, I can't do audiobook because in my mind I picture a different voice.
Right.
And the voice is usually mine.
Yeah.
I can't think of the book in somebody else's voice. It would drive me like really. Like, I might be able to do like an autobiography,
mm-hmm,
if it was the person doing it. Like, Tiffany Haddish did her Black Unicorn. I think she audiobooked hers. So I could probably listen to hers. But it wouldn't be like reading to me. It would be like listening to somebody telling me their life story. Like listening to a podcast.
I think it depends. I feel like if it was like a business book, like if it was like Warren Buffett, I think you would actually want to listen to it. Because it's like,
I would get lost.
If you read it, you're going to get lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because like them books, like it.
I'm not a business person.
Yeah, so it's going to tell you, it's going to give you a whole bunch of numbers.
That's where you lose me.
So I feel like Warren Buffett would be more like your books. I feel like your books I can read, but I think I would like actually like to listen to it because it's like a story, and it's like I probably end up reading it anyway. But I feel like the story, even the way you tell me about these books, I'm like, I think I'd rather listen to an audio,
yeah,
because I think I'll like be in tune. For me, when I listen to other people, like, voices, especially, like, audiobook, I always, like, picture, like, me at that point or whatever. So, a lot of your freaky, dicky-ass books that you read.
You act like every book I read is freaky.
It's not freaky, but the 85% of them is freaky, dicky.
No, that's not true.
We're going to have a podcast, like, just a, what do you call it, a section on Cuddle Talk. And like Freaky Dicky Book of the Week, or Freaky Dicky.
But the book I'm reading right now, it's not Freaky Dicky.
I know it's. Tell the people a little bit about the book that you're reading.
It's called How I Used to Be. And it's basically about a young girl. It's a young adult book. And it's about a young girl who gets raped by a family friend. And it's just navigating her life now as a rape survivor. And I want to say victim because she does survive, but she's currently going through her, like, a simulation of what happened and not being able to share or tell somebody what happened out of fear and just out of the mind games that her rapist plays. And it takes you through the 4 years of high school and how she has to navigate, like, relationships and things like that. Like, right now, she's in her sophomore, like, in the book, I'm reading the part where she's in her sophomore year and she meets this guy. And she's trying to cover up, like, she wants to, oh, thanks, motorcycle, so disrespectful. She's trying to cover, like, she's trying to forget what happened and gain some type of control of her life by thinking that she can sleep with this new guy.
Right.
And erase what happened or, like, kind of push away, but it doesn't really help.
Right.
So, like, that's where I'm at right now. And so, like, it's going to be interesting to see her, like, gain her strength, gain her control of her life and finally stand up for herself,
mm-hmm,
against somebody who took something so sacred from her. So yeah, I'm interested in trying to see where it goes. Right. And I like how the person who wrote it, she's never been sexually assaulted.
But I'm pretty sure she interviewed a lot of people. I know a lot of people that went through it. So, because I heard of that, like, it's writers and, like, you know, directors.
That's like when J. Cole put out For Your Eyes.
Yeah.
J. Cole ain't never been through none of that, but he rapped about it like he did.
He probably got a homeboy, a homegirl that, you know, went through that.
That's why a lot of people didn't like it, because they were like, you didn't go through this. Why would you rap about that now?
First of all, let me tell you something. First of all, it came out what, like 2016, 2017, right? Let me see, because we were just listening to it the other day too, mm-hmm. and it kind of grew on me. It's like Pimp a Butterfly with Kendrick Lamar. Like, that album had to grow on me for a minute. But For Your Eyes, let me see when it came out. 2016. I was right. So, For Your Eyes came out 2016. Me and my wife, we had just met at we was dating. We was already dating. We met at the end of 2015.
We met 2015.
Because I remember he had the 1 hour special on HBO. Mm-hmm. And
did we even watch it? I can't remember.
We did watch it. I know we watched it.
Yes, I did, because I watch everything J. Cole does.
Yeah, so at that time, I couldn't relate to it because we were just dating. We wasn't we wasn't even engaged yet. We wasn't even living together. Everything was fresh. Now, you know, listen to songs where he talk about folding clothes with you, watching movies with you, doing all this stuff. Like, it aged well. You know, I feel like pretty much even with my group, my homeboys and stuff, you know, a lot of them married or, you know, have kids and stuff. So back then, it was like, it was a good tape, but what the hell is J. Cole talking about? Now we understand what J. Cole talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, he talked about everything, talk about kids, talk about relationship, just talking about, like, how it is to, you know, whether it's you in a relationship, you know, with your wife or girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, you know, relationships you have with your kids, you know, especially when they, you know, they babies and stuff, because I forgot what song that was, but he was pretty much talking about his child, and the first thing that came out of my mind was Jasmine. Jasmine was my firstborn, you know, so.
It was a different bond between you and Jasmine and you and J3. Mm-hmm. I think not just because he's a boy, there is a clear difference with how your relationship is with Jasmine as a daughter and your relationship with John as a boy. But there is also a difference between her being the first one that was born and him being a second born. Like, with her, you tend to be more gentle because she's a girl. But
I still discipline her.
You still, like, are more understanding. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't. And then, because you're not about to discipline J3, he's just a baby. But, like, I could see it now. Like, with J3, I feel like you would have more with Jasmine, you're going to have more conversations.
Yeah, with her, yeah.
Cause with J3, it's going to be more of, like, not that you're going to beat his ass, but, like, it's just going to be different.
I'm going to whoop his ass. not whoop his ass, but I'm going to, like, I don't know. Like, it just, I want my son, even my daughter, too, like, We talked about this even way before we had kids. I was like, I want my boys and my girls to understand both. Mm-hmm. I want my daughter to be a woman, to be submissive, but also at the same time, I want her to be independent. I want her to be smart in the moves she make. They all gonna make mistakes like we did, but
can't expect children to be perfect.
Yeah,
we aren't perfect.
But I want them to, when they make that mistake, I want them to be like, I'm not going to do that same mistake again. I'm going to make a mistake, but I ain't going to do that same shit again.
Yeah.
Like we talked about the whole like the bees, there was a butterfly and the bees. What was it, butterfly and bees? What's it called? The sex talk.
The birds and the bees.
You know what I mean? The birds and the bees is late. The birds That's and the like bees talk.
The stuff.
The same talk I would have with my son, I'm gonna have with her, you know.
But you would differentiate it though. Because yeah. J3 is a boy and I think this Jasmine's a girl. And not to sound sexist, not to sound gender role-ish, not to sound old-fashionedist. I want it to be clear. Like, I'm not saying that it will happen, but there has to be an understanding. Like, there is mentally, girls are going to look at sex differently than boys.
Right.
Because we've said this, you and I have had this conversation about how you kind of need both figures in your life.
Right.
Like, you need a male figure and you need a female figure. Positive. Because you can have both and they be negative.
Right, you need positive.
But you need positive figures of both, right? You need to see positive figures. Because you want them to understand certain things that can't be taught by the other person. Right. I can't teach Jasmine how a man should teach her to treat her.
Right.
I can teach her. I can tell her. But it's different when she sees it. When she grows up around it. When she grows up around men who treat her. Like I've always said to you, like when we first started dating, we had a lot of discussions about like how we talk to each other and how we do things. And there were times where you were very clear on like you wanted this, this, and this, and I was like, "Well, you're not my daddy, so." And I based a lot of the stuff between you and I based off of how my mom and my dad. I looked at the positive and the negative, and you and I we've talked about the negative between my parents, and so I always made sure to never see those negatives.
Right.
To if I saw those negatives, automatically run away. In my past relationships, maybe not. Like, maybe I kind of just stuck around when I should have really gone. But with you, I really took the time to see that. But that's because I saw that in my dad.
Right.
I saw that with my dad. I saw how my dad treated my mom negatively and in a positive way. And I knew that I wanted the positive for myself. Excuse me. With Jasmine, I want her to see that. I want her to see this is how a man is supposed to treat you. And like, you and I joke about how you and the guys, you and your best friends are all going to be like at the door when she has her first boyfriend. No, but to be honest with you, she should see that because she should know that there is a group of men who are willing to protect her in any kind, in any way possible. But the same goes with John. Like, John needs to see how a woman is going to treat him. A woman is going to respect him. A woman is going to, you know, watch over him. And how he should treat a woman, too. So it's both ways. Jasmine should see how she should treat a man and how a man should treat her. And John should see how a woman should treat him and how a man should treat him. How a woman should treat him and how he should treat a woman. Right. If those are the sexes they choose to be with, whatever partner they choose to be with, that's their business. But they should see how their partner should treat them and how they should treat their partner is what I'm trying to say. Because
I hope, you know, I don't, like I said, I don't discriminate and nothing like that. And I had these conversations with you and a lot of people. And I know we in times where everything is more open, and I'm with that because you know us coming up in our generation, a lot of people hid a lot of stuff, whether it's not even just like sexuality, but also like you know, people are more comfortable now talking about their own situations, whether they went through things or whatnot, or even the good things. Like,
there are certain things that are still not discussed. Like, sexual assault is still something that we don't discuss as openly. Yeah.
But it's better than it was 20, 30 years ago.
We're not hiding it often. Yeah. There's certain things that are still hidden.
Right.
But I get what you're saying.
Like, I want, you know, I pray that my son is with a woman and my girl's with a man. Now, when they get older and, you know, we all go through, like, you know, puberty and everything, that's when you really find out, like I told you the other day, like, I knew I was going to love women because of, like, my sex drive got so, like, high for women when I was, like, 14, 15, 16 years old. And luckily, you know, my mom, she noticed it, and she was like, yeah, I got a bug. My mom was like, yeah, I got it. It's certain things, like, when I look back at how I was raised, yeah, my mom, she did a great job, because if I didn't have a mother like her, I don't know where I'd be at right now.
I think
she understood,
she's a,
like,
great mom.
Yeah, like,
she raised a great man.
Yeah, because I tell you now, boy, my mom was... My mama knew too. She was like, it's not even that. Just,
you'd have like 10 kids.
Yeah. Because that goes back
to. But that,
like,
goes back to the conversation. Yeah. You had a mom who taught you how to treat women.
Yep.
You had sisters who taught you how to treat women.
Mm-hmm.
And then your dad wasn't always there, but he was there. And the bit of times that he was there, you learned how to be a man and what not to do, because you took the negative that your dad and turned them into positives.
Yeah, because I still had, you know, also
still had his role model, but you had other men in your life too.
Yeah, I had my granddaddy, I had my brother.
Yeah.
Like, so they, you know, they taught me.
It doesn't have to be a dad. It could be an uncle, an aunt.
Yeah, uncles too.
Aunts are just as important. Uncles are just as important. It just has to be somebody. You have to have a balance. Everything in life is a balance. And I think that that's what we want to provide our kids.
Right.
Is that balance. You see both. You don't just are exposed to one.
Yeah.
So that you understand.
Yeah, because you got to. Like, that's why.
And it's not like. And don't come for us, because they're also exposed. Like, one of my closest friends, Dominic, is very proud.
Okay.
In his sexuality. Mm-hmm. We have people who are our own godbrothers. We have godbrothers and sisters who are very much proud in their sexuality and do not hide it.
We love them dearly.
And we do love them dearly. Mm-hmm. And our children will be exposed to them just like they're exposed to anything else. But we want them to have a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And we want them to see how both go.
Because
this world is crazy.
The world is crazy. It's all, like, all overall, the world. Like, I have conversations. The mother Sidiri got to do what she need to do. She'll be right back. But, you know, I had these conversations with my coworkers and, you know, even close friends that, you know, this world is messed up. Where some of my, you know, close people, versus family, friends, they afraid to have kids in this, you know, in this world, and sometimes I understand where they coming from.
It's scary.
But also at the same time, it's like I have this mentality of you can't let the world scare you too much, because if you let it scare you too much, you're gonna be stuck, and you can't just, like, oh, such and such this money too high, or house market too crazy, or they doing all this stuff. Like, I just feel like for me and in my mindset, sometimes I think, like, damn, like, this world is messed up. But also too, I think about, what if, like, all of this is just a test for our, like, you know, well being, and just be like, you know what, like, you know, just, you know, fuck it, like, just take life, you know, head on, head strong, you know. But that also goes back to how we was growing up. We had a village. And now, as we get older, you know.
I love our village.
Yeah, I love
the village that we have created.
Right.
Our friends are amazing. The people that are around our children are amazing. And everybody in our village is strong. Right. So I really like Taylor, Carl, Dina, Jamil, Trey, Dante, like our village is strong. Even the ones that don't have, like Carissa, Marissa. Mm. Well, Marissa has a baby. Mm. Lizzie. I'm missing people.
There's a lot of them.
Like, there's a whole bunch of people in our village, and every single one of those people, like, pour into our children and pour into us.
Yeah.
In our relationship and in our marriage. And I think that we are truly blessed to be surrounded by the people that we are surrounded by.
Yes, we are. Ain't nothing like a great support system. Now,
that brings us to one of the segments that I wanted to bring into the podcast.
What is that?
Which is a Reddit. Am I the asshole? I'm pretty sure you guys have heard of other podcasts who have read like entries on Reddit asking if they're the asshole, asking for advices and things like that. So I went through Reddit and found two stories, I guess, two posts, you can say. Mm-hmm. One is asking for advice and one is just like a conversation starter. Right. So we have two for today. Because I am trying to give us a schedule, because sometimes we come on here, we just talk, and I feel like we need structure.
No, we don't. Yes, people like this shit.
Structure.
People like that, though. People, it's like having a conversation.
Yeah, I know.
But I know, like, we need a little structure.
I was about to say, just a little bit of structure.
Yeah, that's the teacher in her.
Yes, it is the teacher in me. So here is the Reddit that I have found. It says, can you talk to your spouse about anything? My husband and I have been together for a decade, and I realize that we have had conversations on just about everything, even the extremely hard conversations that some people like to skip over because it's uncomfortable. Any issue we've had with each other, any concern about other people, we're truly able to come to one another and air our grievances. Because we know we're safe with one another. Do you feel safe with your spouse to talk about any and everything?
You ask me that question?
Yeah, I mean, you're the only other person in this podcast.
And
you two, you guys, listeners at home, do you feel safe with your spouse, your partner, to talk about any and everything?
I mean, I am. Remember I told you, like, when I first met you, and I never had someone, like, that I was comfortable to talking about, like, a lot of stuff that I went through or gone through, whether it's good or bad, or, you know, like, I was always, growing up, I was always a secretive person, still kind of is a secretive person. I would talk to you about anything. To this day,
you feel safe to talk to me.
Yeah, I feel safe to talk to you about it. Like, I just feel like, you know, as our, you know, relationship grew, especially from like the first year that we started, like first started, you know, dating and everything. Like, sometimes, you know, used to wake up 3-4 o'clock in the damn morning, whether it's on the weekend or, you know, a work week, and we'll just talk about like what dream that we had, or, you know, what's going on at work or in life. Because at the end of the day, you know, we are one, but we have our own separate lives. So, like, you know, it's certain stuff that I tell you that I can't tell nobody else. So yeah, I'm comfortable to tell you, you know, pretty much everything. What about you?
Yes, I do. I feel comfortable to tell you. I think we went through a stretch in our relationship where we were both going through things,
mm-hmm.
where conversation wasn't the strongest.
Right.
But even in that, we were still able to talk to each other about almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain things that I did neglect, and there are certain things that you did not say either.
Mm-hmm.
But we are able to now look back and talk about those things without any, like, you know, like you don't look at me differently or anything. We really, like, sit down and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's because we started our relationship as friends.
Right.
Our friendship was strong. We built a strong foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually, like, continued to build on that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about everything. We would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and talk about shit, like, randomly.
Right.
So I do feel safe coming to you about things. I might be embarrassed sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just because of who I am. But at least I come to you. Like, I'll come to you. Like, I don't like this. I don't like that. Like, I'm good with this. Like, this is concerning to me. Like, I'm worried about this. And especially now with kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm talking to you about everything.
Got to. Shit, honestly, I feel like you came to me more than I did at the beginning. And that would make me comfortable. Because I didn't get that, you know, coming up. Like, I ain't really, especially dating, you know, women. Like, you know, I was in previous relationships and stuff myself, and I didn't really get that. So I'm like, why? It was weird. It was like, why would I tell you something if you're not open with me? And I know you're not open with me. Like, I know when you're open with me. And when you're not, same thing with you. You know when I'm open with you, you know when I'm not. Like, if I'm, like, shutting down. But, you know, it's still, like, I can wait a day or two or a week, but I'm going to you to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Before I talk to anybody else about it or nobody at all, I'm going to you about it because, mm-hmm. not just because you're my wife and we've been together for, like, almost 9 years.
I go to one other person, but. That's something you and I have talked about.
Yeah. You ain't gotta talk about this. Anyway.
No, I go to Kayla. I go to Kayla about certain things.
That's different, though. That's like, that's like me. Yeah. I go to, you know, sometimes I go
to. This is my soulmate.
Fuck. Yeah, see, they gay. So I've been saying that for
We've
years.
Had this conversation. For you and years, I understand me. That you can have a soulmate that is platonic. Kayla is my platonic soulmate. She and I understand each other. Like, if we do not talk to each other every day, it's like we're missing part of each other. Like, she's been going through a whole process to, you know, cross Delta.
Mm-hmm.
She finally became a member of Delta Sigma Theta. And I feel like I have my best friend back because we were not talking like we were normally used to because she's always tired.
Mm-hmm.
I completely forgot to text her today, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm an asshole. I fucked up. I'm sorry. And, like, we're back to talking like it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
She is my platonic soulmate. You are my romantic soulmate, but she is my platonic.
Yeah, I get it. I've been saying that.
And we say that about you and Jamil. Y'all are gay, too.
Tell me the same thing.
Okay. You know, Jamil is your boyfriend before me.
So?
And man. That's fine. That's your man.
Me, even right now, like, me and him, not, it's just because life is life. He got his family, I got mine's, you know.
You have a new boyfriend.
Who?
Carl.
Oh, shut up, man. That's why we got a group
multiple
chat.
Multiple boyfriends.
That's why we got a group chat, you know. But it just, I don't know. Like, when it comes to, like, opening up to people, like, me coming up, I never was comfortable like that. Like, even to own family members, just because the fact that if I say something, it to them may come out the wrong way, but it's really not. It's just me and my thoughts.
Right. Like,
you know, for me, like, that's why when I think of Jasmine reminds me of me so much because she asks questions.
Yeah.
And I feel like
she's in that phase.
Yeah, and
why
I feel
is
like
this? What's that?
Yeah,
what's going on? What are you doing?
And it's just like when she in that phase of like, Daddy, what are you doing? Or like the other day, she asked me, and I was okay. I wasn't. I was just tired. She was like, "Are you okay? Are you okay, Daddy?" What's
she
asked
your mom that when your mom was sick.
Yeah, yeah.
She went into your mom's room and was like, "Nana, are you sick? Are you okay, Nana?" And your mom was like, my tummy hurts. And she walked out of the room and was like, mommy, Nana's tummy hurts. Yeah, I was like, I mean, the fact that she can pick up on that, mm-hmm. that she can pick up on like something's wrong.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
It's crazy. And it also spiritual expert as well too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about that a lot, you know, spiritually, especially, you know, babies, you know, young kids, they are very in tune.
So
I can be, you could be good, but we could be dead tired from work or whatever, and Jasmine would be the first one to ask what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like maybe she feels something outside of that, and it's crazy. It's like goes back to being, you know, being a parent.
Yeah.
And now that we about to have a 4-year-old, sometimes I think about it, I'm like, in 10 years, this girl gonna be 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So when she turned 14 years old, I can imagine the conversation she's going to have with us.
Yeah.
Not even just about her life, but also with us. Like, she could be like, daddy, like, you know, like what's really wrong with you? Like, are you okay? Are you struggling with, you know, work or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Mom, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? Just conversations like that, which is, I feel like it was always cool because me and my mom was like that.
I was gonna say, I feel like if we have those open conversations, like if you and I are able to talk about a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
and not be afraid, not feel ashamed, not feel embarrassed. Well, I feel embarrassed, but not like I won't share it with you. If she sees that, again, it goes back to that balance that I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If she sees that between you and I, like, then that makes her comfortable to do it too.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I see mom and dad talk all the time. Like, you and I had this conversation before. Like, whenever you and I argue, mm-hmm. we don't argue in front of them. Like, mm-hmm. when we have disagreements. But when we do, not saying that it doesn't happen, because it does happen.
Right.
And she notices the change in the atmosphere. She notices the change in our tone and in our body languages. And she'll go like, shh, stop, daddy, no. Like, she's mm-hmm. literally like, listen, this is not normal. Can y'all stop?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see that.
I'm talking about, we could argue about something stupid like,
and she'll
where's
be real
J3 quick. Pampers at, or something like, something stupid. And
she'll be real quick.
She could feel like the tone about to go say, hey, hey, hey. She'll be like, hey, 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 all right. And I'm like, all right.
But I do feel safe to talk mm-hmm. to you. Feel comfortable to talk to you about mm-hmm. anything and everything.
Right.
And we've and now, like, sexually, I have no problem sharing certain things with you.
Yeah, hey, I heard that, right? Hey.
Eventually we will have a sex.
We'll have a sex episode.
Yeah, we should have a sex episode, because now we have to explain, like, not like, I think sex when we started,
mm-hmm.
which will be in the podcast when we talk about it, but like, sex when we started without kids is completely different to now.
Let me tell you something. When we do this, this ain't gonna be, I'm sorry, I you know, Jada, Will, I love y'all, but nigga, I ain't Will. Alright. I'm telling you that right now.
There's no entanglement.
Ain't no fucking entanglement, all that bullshit.
No, but I'm saying, like, Our relationship without kids sexually,
no, it was different.
Different with us now with kids. And that's something that we should definitely talk about.
See, I can talk about a little bit right now.
Nah.
Let's talk about a little bit.
Let's save it for the next episode.
No, just a little bit.
Okay.
I would say this, and we'll go more in depth in the next episode, because we do need to talk about this, because I have conversations, you know, with my boys.
Yeah.
Well, before kids, it was, you know, like, think about even going out. It's not even just about sex. Like, just me and you just going out, it was different. Like, we could just go out. We go on dates and stuff. Now, you know, we got to work around schedules. We got to see who's going to watch the kids. We got to see, even if it's a date there, you know what? We could just bring the kids with us and stuff, but we do need our long time. Like, it's so much that we got to, like, think about. Like, we got a date coming up, and
we're gonna go see Yoongi.
We got a plan.
We're gonna go see Min Yoongi.
We got a plan.
August D.
We got a
plan. Sugar.
All right, August. they get the point. You know what I'm saying? The army, yay, army girls, y'all, yeah, the whole army, army.
I'm
girls,
taking I'm him, boy. Guys, and I'm gonna get him a sugar T-shirt, and he's gonna wear his sugar T-shirt.
Maybe from the.
Hopefully, it comes on time.
What you mean? I come on time? Oh, you talking about the shirt? Oh.
Yeah, hopefully it comes on time.
But when we, you know, it's different. Mm-hmm. I just almost say it's different. Now are there times where it's kind of like.
I think I'm more open now.
It's kind of sexy. Mm. Like we got to sneak and do what we need to do. Yeah. Like we like fucking teenagers.
Yeah.
I love that shit, but.
But I will say like the difference now is I'm more open with you than I was when we didn't have kids. And we'll talk more about that in the next episode.
We definitely will. Cause
will John and Sedaria talk about sex? Will Jasmine join in the next podcast?
She better not. She better be asleep.
Will Sedaria have everything written out correctly? Find out on the next episode of
Will Sedaria be pregnant by the next
no,
episode?
No, I will not be pregnant by the next
will episode. We have a house by the next episode.
All right, hopefully. Are you ready for the next Reddit?
Oh, yeah, before that. Mm. Since you got that, I'm going to have the love doctor section after that.
Okay. It says...
So you got a preview.
Am I the asshole for not wanting to attend my sister's wedding? This is coming from a burner account.
Mm-hmm.
It says, so my sister, let's call her Gemma, 26, has been dating this guy, let's call him Chad, 34, for about 3 years now. And honestly, I've never been a fan. He's the jobless shitbox driving type.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
From the get-go, he always seemed a bit fucked up to me. But, hey, love is blind, I guess. Anyway, fast forward to last month. Gemma announces she's getting married to Chad. My family is ecstatic. They've always adored Chad, and they're over the moon about the wedding. But I just can't bring myself to share in their enthusiasm. Here's the thing. I've seen some red flags in Chad's behavior. Nothing major, just little things that make me question his character. He can be controlling at times, and I've heard him make some pretty insensitive remarks. Also, don't quote me on this, but I think he might be doing drugs.
Mm.
But whenever I've tried to bring it up with Gemma, she brushes it off, saying I'm overreacting and misinterpreting things. Now, Gemma's been pestering me nonstop about attending the wedding. She wants me to be her maid of honor, and she's been laying on the guilt trip thick. But I can't shake the feeling of unease about this whole situation. I don't want to be a part of something that I don't support. I'm not sure what to do now. Should I attend?
You should answer that. Then you look, I forgot what's button is for the crickets. Yeah, I think it's this one. Yeah.
I think that she should still go to the wedding. I think you have to let people make their own mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You've already shared your concerns. She's not taking the concerns. So she's choosing to marry this person.
Mm-hmm.
So if she chooses to marry this person, you don't have to support it. You don't have to support the marriage, but you could support your sister.
Right.
So your sister may be marrying an asshole. He may be a dick, a complete ass. But your sister is choosing to marry this person. So if you go to the wedding, it's to support her, not the marriage. Because she's going to need you if something does happen. And he does break up with her or he does something that really leads to divorce between the two of them. She's going to need support.
Right.
And she's going to look for it in the people she knew have been standing by her side from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not there, then it kind of is like, well, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like I feel like I would still go.
I probably still go just for the food. Nah, dead ass, it was like, but probably like, I want to say maybe like a week before the wedding, I'll tell her and talk to this nigga and be like, hey, like, marriage shouldn't, like I told you before, marriage, like, do change people if they let it change. I just feel like, you know, I talked to, you know, my sister about it, or whoever, it could be my brother with a girl, whatever. I tell them, like, hey, this is how I feel, but I'm still going to support you 100%. But I will also go talk to the in-law, like, to the brother-in-law or sister-in-law, and let them know, like, hey, like, you've been an ass, you know, with my sister or brother for a while, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you still family, and, you know, I'm going to pray for y'all, and I'm going to pray for you to mature, you know, make that change. Because I always believe in, it's like even me as a DJ, like, there's some rappers that was, or even artists that was trash, mm-hmm. but I always believe in development. So I feel like, you know, marriage is like, you know, or being in relationships is like, it's like being on the teams. Like, it's a business. Like, it's going to be development.
If you're not growing and developing your relationship, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
You should not be the same person you were when you started a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been in a long-term relationship, or, and you know what's funny? This came up with one of your best friend's ex.
Who? Oh. They ain't, all right, good. They ain't hear that. What happened?
And remember how it was, oh, he's changed. He's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that somebody should change if they've gone through things and have experienced things and have been exposed to things that have changed their mindsets.
Right.
You should never be the same person in a relationship that you are when you start. Like, you, when I met you,
mm-hmm. I'm for damn sure ain't the same person.
You are not the same person. I'm not the same person.
Yeah, you know,
we've developed, we've grown. And if you aren't doing that in a relationship, if you aren't growing, if you aren't becoming the better version of you,
mm-hmm.
then there's a problem in that relationship.
Even having kids, like, that shit changed. Like, it, like, I always been that uncle that, you know, watched my nephews and nieces and shit, but, like, having your own is different. Like, I, like growing up, even people knew that, like, you know, I want all these kids. They knew I was going to be a great father. But to actually do it and be that father, like, you know, Jasmine 3 years old, and remember when she was, like, a newborn and 6 months, and then now with J3, he about to be 8 months in a few days, like, and just how I interact with them, like, it's growth,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
you have to. If yeah. you are staying stagnant,
mm-hmm.
there is a problem.
Right.
You cannot expect a relationship to develop and grow if you are not growing.
Right.
If you are not developing yourself, if you are not, you know, putting into yourself and your significant other. Like, mm-hmm. I would hate if I look back, if 10 years from now I look back at us, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh yeah, we're in the same space. Like, what is wrong with us if we're in the same space?
Right.
Like, we didn't experience life. You change. You're, as an individual, not even just relation, as an individual, you change.
Right.
So if you change by yourself, why would you not change in a relationship?
Yeah, like, it's,
so maybe he is, you know, maybe he does change and becomes better.
Maybe he just needs an ass whooping.
The point is, support your sister.
Support your sister, support your brother, support your sibling. But if they, your brother and sister-in-law, whatever, your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law, need an ass whooping or just need to get the cuss to freak out, then that's what they need. So, yeah, we go to the wedding.
we're going to the wedding of the sister.
Yeah, so, now for my session that we're going to have on Cutter Talk.
Section,
whatever.
Section.
I'm the love doctor.
You are the love doctor.
I'm the I'm gonna change it to the love letter right now. So, if y'all don't know,
what is this section gonna consist of?
Just, you know, advice. You know,
but who are you giving advice to?
It could be a random person. It could just be a thought.
You have an advice today?
Yeah, I got advice today, and you know, shout out to. I have two clients now at my job. I'm not going to say no names, but I have two clients at my jobs, and they actually come to me, and it worked. The advice worked. So my advice today for all the lovers out there, communicate.
Your message, not advice.
A message, whatever. Message, advice. But that's still the same shit, because, you know, that's true, though.
Okay, what's your message?
Communicate. You know, because, you know, you got to communicate, right? You know, me and my wife, you know, everybody, like, every relationship goes through ups and downs, but communication is, like, the key. It should always be everyone key. Like I said, like, when
and
I first
legit met. Legit communication. Yeah. Because there's a difference between listening and hearing. Are you listening or are you hearing? Are you listening to your significant other and processing what they're saying? Or are you hearing them trying to make sure that you hear what you want to hear so that you have a comeback?
I mean, yeah, of course. That's, you got to.
You need effective communication.
Yeah, you got to have effective communication. But my thing is, y'all have to just be in the same damn room. Mm-hmm. And y'all got to listen, y'all got to hear each other out. And if y'all don't understand what the person is saying, just ask.
Ask clarifying questions or just ask.
Just ask, like, okay, so what do you mean by that? Like, do you, like, just question. You know, just go more in depth with the person, you know, whether you the one that's telling them how they feel or you the one that's receiving and now you wanna ask them questions, just go more in depth. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like, when we went through this 40 days, 40 nights, our communication, overall, I give it a D plus. Not just, I give it an A minus, but A plus, if you want to be real. But without social media, without all the you know, distractions and stuff, you know, it felt good to actually talk, you know, while, you know, having a phone in each other's face or whatever. Like, it felt good.
Bonded over things.
Yeah.
We bonded again over.
Not saying we don't do that even with before Lent and everything, but I'm just saying it felt, without that, I can tell the difference. And I feel like in this era, like, we have to get back to that, you know, at least an hour or two out the day and just, like, bond and just talk about stuff and this and that.
Right.
Because, you know, for example, communication could be like, oh, let's go out to eat, but where to eat? You got to hear that person out, be like, all right, what do you want to eat at? You can't just be like, where you want to eat at, and then they say the stuff, and then you just go on. And you got to, like, listen. And this for the fellas right here. Like, you know, women, they ignorant, so they don't even know what
not the, ignorant.
They don't know what they want to eat at most of the time.
We
right?
We are indecisive.
Yeah, that's y'all ignorant. So if she say, just say, I don't care what I want, but I have a taste for a fried chicken, right? Listen, you go on Google, you go on Instagram, you go on Yelp. Yelp is starting to become my best friend in the world.
Or you can do like us in John and just find where you're there.
Oh, yeah, you can just go. Yeah, you just go out to places and stuff. But me, I kind of like do both. I kind of like, especially like if I'm at work or she at work and I'm on my day off, like I just like, you know what, let me go and just look up these different restaurants and stuff that's in her field that she loves to eat. So let's say it's fried chicken. Be like, all right, instead of going to Popeye's or, you know, Snappers or whatever, y'all from Dade, you know, South Florida, you know about Snappers and shit. But instead of going to them places, let's find something that's like unique that we never, you know, been to. Like, she found this Korean spot up in Davie, Florida, called? What's it called?
Quickie?
No, not Quickies. The Korean spot.
The one where we get boba?
Yeah. No. No, not quick. Well, that Quickies too, but I'm talking about the first fried chicken.
Changmin?
Changmin? Changmin. Well,
that was Carl and Dina. That was Carl and Dina.
Told us about it, but still, like, we went up there and the food was amazing and stuff, but you did discover Quickies, you know, so.
This is good.
And this, that shit.
Chow One, I discovered.
Chow One. Ain't discovered Chow One. I knew about Chow One. I just never went in. I thought it was expensive for sale.
The one barrel, the by Brew's Room.
That one you discovered good. What's it called? I forgot.
That's something that we can never.
Discovered the one in Weston.
Which is good.
And the one over there by my job. And it was good. I like they cook their chicken. That's another. Since we talking about food,
wait. Love Doctor.
Uh huh.
Are you done with your message?
Yes, just communicate. The Love Doctor is finished, but that's gonna be.
So the next section, which we're getting close to the end because I'm tired. And also this episode is like an hour. Our next episode, and this is something we've discussed, we wanted to give food recommendations for those of you who are from Florida, from Miami, coming to visit Miami. We have some good places to eat. What would be your recommendation?
Shit. This is overall. Mm-hmm. Well, we had seafood today because Good Friday. Well, by the time y'all listen to it, it's not gonna be Good Friday. But when we record it, shit, it's not even Good Friday no more. It's past 12. But we don't eat chicken or any type of meat except for seafood. So we ate at this place called, this is not the recommendation, this spot is straight, it's called Mr. Q, it's good, but the best seafood that we ever had, and we still talk about this, was the Cajun, Cajun Boyu down in Flagler. It could be the same recommendation. It's
amazing.
Shit was amazing, like.
I love it, the sauce, oh my God. They have mac and cheese, because Jasmine doesn't eat seafood, so we got mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Discovered that place when I was pregnant.
Yep.
With the J3.
Yep.
And we went back like two more times before he was born. I think that's what made him come early.
Yeah, because that food was, because the chicken wings fire. So that's a recommendation right there. So Cajun Boy, but the one in Flagler. We've been to the one in Plantation. That's when we tried that the gator food, the gator bites. So
that's their Father's Day.
Yeah. But Cajun Boy, the one in Flagler Street. If y'all from South Florida or Miami, whatever, Flagler Street is on, let me look that up real quick. It's on, and y'all better, I hope y'all Cajun Boy, y'all give us something, because that place over there is good. It is on 141 Southwest 7th Street, Miami, Florida, 33130. No, that's Brickle. Hold on, my bad. I just messed up.
While John looks for it.
I found it. So it's 10162 West Flagler Street, Miami, Florida, 33174. It's not that far. It's like, if y'all in the Sweetwater, Coral Way, Borough Road area, Kendall area, but like in that area.
I remember it's from FIU.
Yeah, in that area, Durellis area, like, y'all definitely need to try that place.
It's amazing. I have a sweet and a salt and a savory recommendation. My sweet recommendation, because you know I love me some sweet, is Mojo Donuts. So if you are from South Florida and you're looking for something sweet to tame your sweet tooth, go on by Mojo Donuts. Mojo Donuts has amazing donuts. They have a deco donut, which has like frosted flakes on the outside. It's coated in chocolate, frosted flakes, and then it's topped with fruit, like strawberries and blueberries, and then some like cream thing that they have. Then they have one called Death, White Death, and it's literally a chocolate just covered in white. It's a donut covered in white chocolate. Oh my God, it's so good. So if you ever are in the area and you want something sweet, you can go to Mojo Donuts. They have a couple locations. There's one in like Doral, one in Pines.
Wait, I thought the one in Pines was the only one.
No, there's another one. Oh, and then my savory is also somewhere you can go to get something sweet, and that is Quickies in Davie. It is a Korean joint and it has amazing boba. They have amazing corn dogs, which I love. And then they have other food that's really, really good. And they've been expanding their menu. So they've gone from just selling boba to selling corn dogs to selling rice and chicken. So they have been growing. So those are my two recommendations.
Well, I got one more. No, I don't. Wait, hold on.
You want to do your wine recommendation? Because John has been drinking wine, guys. John has been into his wine, his wine era.
Tell y'all something, man.
And now all he wants to do is drink wine. And he has a growing collection of wine.
I need to regrow it. And I just joined Total Wines. Hey, hey, wine good. So anyway, my wine recommendation, and it's crazy because me and my...
I'm not drinking wine because I'm still breastfeeding, you guys.
You need to hurry up and finish because let me tell you something. Snoop Cali Red, the red wine by 19 Crowns. If you don't know about 19 Crowns, y'all sleep. But Snoop Cali Red, I don't know what... This wine, first of all, it tastes good, but this wine here, like one night, see, you're gonna get kind of freaky dicky a little bit, you know what I'm saying? I don't care what Sidere say. So one night, I had drunk the wine, right? The wine was amazing. I think it was like...
What does it taste like?
It's like a red blend. It's like... For people who don't like wine, they'll like it because... It tastes like wine, but it's not, I can't explain it. It's not like too dry. You know what I'm saying? Like it kind of reminds me of, cause you could cool wine, like you could put it in on ice. It kind of reminds me of champagne a little bit, just a little bit, but it still got that. I can't explain it. Like if you're a virgin and you never drunk wine, this should be your first like wine. Like it tastes like, it's not too dry. It's more in the middle. But it's got that subtle... It's just... The taste is just relaxing. I'm going to call it relaxing. That's just how I describe it. It's like relaxing. Like, you could go to the beach with it. You could go on a date with it. You know, you cooking steak and shrimp and stuff for your wife or even for the family. You could have a glass of wine and stuff like that. Like, you got to drink that. But one night, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I don't know what Snoop Dogg put in his wine, but I was like, man, I need my wife right now. If y'all know what need my wife is or need my husband is, y'all already know what it is, but, you know, mission was complete because it's Uncle Snoop. But this wine here is amazing. Like, all the wines I tasted, this one's probably like the recommended one for now. Of course, I'm going to, you know, grow my collection and everything. I'm going to drink some more. But out of all the ones I drunk from the last 5 months, 3, 4, 5 months, this one is the one that, like, I'm like, I need to buy some more, at least 3 more bottles.
Okay. So this part of the podcast, when we're about to end, I've decided it's going to be like our recommendation section. So, we're going to recommend on certain things.
Like what?
Food.
Uh-huh.
Wine, because you are now a wine drinker.
Right.
Shows.
Mm-hmm.
And because I am the book reader, the books.
What about video games?
We can do video games. So shows. I would recommend it. I might be late on it, but The Bear.
Look, I put her on the.
He did put me on it. Well, not really, but okay.
Once I did.
I would say The Bear. Great show. I'm really liking it. I haven't finished it, but I think that what I've seen so far, it's so good, and I like it. I like the development.
It's a beautiful show. Like, it's magnificent. It's one of them shows, especially in this generation, where I hope they keep going at least until like 5 or 6. It's a show that's like you could technically make it 10 seasons if you wanted to. My fear is that I feel like they won't because it's so like how you call it, it's so real. It's one of them shows. So basically, The Bear is basically about Bear. His name is Bear, and he has his own like restaurant that he's trying to build.
That he got from his brother,
but he's trying to build it back up. And season 1, it covers it, but season 2 is really like is when you're gonna see like the growth. I'm not gonna spoil you anything, but like just the episode itself, especially people that's in the culinary, you know, world, that's in the world of food, like foodies and stuff like ourselves, but like people who actually like cook or even just own a restaurant and stuff like that, like y'all would love this show. Like it's motivational, like it's real, it's authentic. It's kinda like watching The Office, but it's more like a dark humor comedy / drama in a way. Like it's dope. I love the show.
That was my recommendation.
For shows? Shit. I would say that, and also fuck that shit. What we watched last night, the documentary. Oh my god!
If you have not watched Quiet on the Set,
Lord have mercy.
Please do, because as a parent, I promise you, it has changed a lot of my views on things. Mm-hmm. As a child who grew up watching Nickelodeon, it changed my perspective completely. So I agree with the drawing. If you have not watched Quiet on the Set, please do.
And we will talk about that probably on the that could be a whole episode itself but we're trying to wait until the 5th installment they're gonna have with Drake Bell. When he go more in depth and he have an interview, but y'all gotta watch it. It's crazy. Like it's probably the best documentary out right now. Just as far as like just information, and then like you know, like my wife said, like it kind of changed my perspective too. Like you know, especially like we all growing up, we all wanted to be you know superstars. You know, going to like you know Hollywood and stuff, but like. As I got older, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't. Now, if I decide to do it later on in life, I got to make sure everything is right. I got to just make sure I'm around the right people because Hollywood, we hear it a lot, but Hollywood is something not to play with. But those are my recommendations. You got any more recommendations?
That's about all I have for tonight.
All you have.
Do you have something else?
No, that's it.
Well, you know where to find us on all Instagram, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Just look for us at Cuddle Talk. You can find me on Instagram at Excessively18, on Twitter, Sedari Fleet, and on Facebook, Sedari Fleet. Look out for our Instagram post.
Sedari Fleet on Facebook?
Sedari Fleet Mobley. On our Instagram, Cuddle Talk, at Cuddle Talk.
12:15.
We will be putting 12:15. We will be putting up Ask Us Questions. So our next podcast will be taking questions from our fans, from you guys, the listeners. So you can comment your questions. You can DM us your questions about relationships. So if you have any questions that need some advice, if you want something to just get off your chest, send us those messages to our Instagram. My Instagram at excessively18, 2 Z's, or at cuddletalk1215.
Y'all can follow me on all platforms, DJ Anonymous, DRG 305. Follow my other podcast, Sports Biz Music. That's pretty much it. Like, you know, like what the lady say, you know, hit us up, follow us, you know, ask us questions, especially for the show. We promise to be more consistent as much as we can, and just, you know, support us. Because we're trying to be the next big podcast. And I feel like it's going to happen.
I hope you guys have a great week. Remember to be kind. Be kind to others. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. And share nothing but love.
Yep.
And y'all on the next podcast.
Now it's time to get freaky.
Bye.
Now it's time to get freaky dicky. We out. Peace.